Lord, as always, when we gather together, we are desperate for more of you. We pray that in our time here in these few moments, that we would feel you, dear Father, your presence, that we would glorify you, Lord Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit would minister to us and teach us. We pray this in Jesus' strong name. Amen. So, I bet it's been 15 years ago now that a dear, dear friend of mine, Drew Travis, gave me a book entitled Love Poured Out for Vietnam. It is the story of his grandparents, Chester and Mary Travis. They served as missionaries with the Christian Missionary Alliance in Vietnam from 1925 to 1975, often refusing to come home on furlough because they were so dedicated to sharing the gospel there in Vietnam. And they certainly endured a lot of hardship. Not only did they have their four sons there, but they faced the difficulties of learning a new language, being in a third world culture, learning how to relate to a different group of people, and living really on an income that many people would consider impoverished in these days. Also, in the 1940s, Mary and Chester and their four sons were prisoners in a Japanese prison camp for 4 or 5 years. After their release, they continued to serve there, and they went through the French Indochina War before Vietnam became Vietnam. And then, of course, they were there during what we know, many of us, as the Vietnam War. And so they saw a lot of war, a lot of death. Some of their very closest friends who were missionaries lost their lives. And yet they stayed faithful because they believed they were called there, that God wanted them there to share the gospel of Christ, and that it was important that they fulfill what the Lord had asked them to do. Now, there are a lot of interesting stories in this book, Love Poured Out for Vietnam. But one of them really, well, it had a combination of humor, almost absurdity, and courage linked to it. See, the story is that they traveled and they had a small Jeep that they would travel around in. And at one point, they had some soldiers in the Jeep with them as they were traveling down the road. And all of a sudden, bullets began to be fired toward them. And the soldiers ducked down and hid while Chester and Mary just drove on down the road. Afterwards, and by the way, this story is told by the soldiers, not by Chester and Mary Travis. Afterwards, these soldiers confronted them and asked them, why is it that they didn't get down? Why didn't they try to hide, pull off the road? And they said, because we are immortal until we have finished the work that God has called us to do. Boy, that statement just jumped from the pages, and I still don't completely know how to respond to that. It's an amazing statement. It's filled with courage, a tremendous degree of faith, almost a simplicity of belief that is childlike, very similar to what Jesus said our faith should be like. They just simply believed that they were there for a purpose and that they would be able to fulfill their purpose because of the care, the protection, and the love of God. Now, I want to admit that when I read that, and even as I think about it, I want to feel that way, but I can't say that I completely do feel that way, which may in fact show a place where my faith really needs to grow. It's linked to the idea that we, that I, that you, were really here on earth still for a purpose. I was teaching just the other night at a Come Away With Me retreat, and someone asked me about the notion of calling. And they were wrestling with calling in their own life and asked me how I experienced calling. And I told them, well, the bottom line is the first call I felt was the call to Christ himself, to be a Christ follower, to be in Christ, to be able to develop a relationship and intimacy with Jesus. And that's where call began. And then I felt a call to his community, to hang out with other Christians, to learn from them, to do life with them. From there, I felt a call to service that as I was leaving college, trying to think of what it is that I was going to do, I had this sense that I wanted my life to be dedicated to serving. Over time, as I entered seminary, I began to have a sense of type of service, and that began with being a pastor, and then it moved on to spending over 30 years teaching in theological seminaries. And then, of course, call became really dedicated to this sense of place, that I'm going to fulfill all of these callings, the calling to have a relationship with Christ, to be part of his community, to serve, to teach, here, in this place, wherever it was, in Nyack, New York, in Colorado Springs, in Redding, California, in Ashland, Ohio. Now, I know you're aware that I've mentioned before that I'm now in my 70s. I saw someone recently write an article in which they referred to being in your 70s as being in your 80th decade. Eighth decade. And I was like, wow, I never thought of it. 70s is enough. We don't need to bring the 8 number into this yet. But a question rises up with me now is, how does the sense of call play out now that I'm in my 70s? I mean, there's obviously some changes taking place. I'm no longer the president of Healing Care Ministries, though I still serve. I no longer teach at a theological seminary, though I do teach. But what is it going to look like? What are the new adventures? Are there new adventures? How do I continue to fulfill what I sense God calling me to in service? Now, it's with all that in mind that I come to a scripture that I read this morning. I was reading in the Gospel of John, and I started to read Jesus' prayer, what's known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17. And this verse, it really stood out to me. I have brought you glory by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, Jesus is saying those words right before the week of the Passion begins. So it's prior to his passing, prior to his crucifixion, prior to the resurrection. And in his prayer, he said, I finished what you gave me to do. It brought me back to these words by Mary and Chester Travis, and it made me think about where I am right now in my own life, that even though age and transitions occur, I want to be able to finish whatever work it is that the Lord has given me to do, whether it's podcasting, writing, teaching to small groups, serving as a volunteer at a nursing home or assisted living facility, sharing the gospel with my neighbor. I want to keep my eye on the fact that I am here for a purpose. And sometimes the purpose is planting very small seeds. And maybe at other times it's harvesting, standing before larger crowds, seeing more people impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I have this understanding that I want to finish the work that Jesus gave me to do. And so I need to constantly be thinking about and praying about, Lord, what is the work that you want me to be doing right here and right now? Now, it was just the other day that I was praying and kind of working through my own issues with the Lord, and I was kind of commenting to him that I know that in my life right now I'm a combination, on the one hand, of wholeness, where the Lord has healed me, where he's strengthened me, where he's helped me to grow. On the other hand, there are places still of brokenness where I need the healing of God. And so it's that combination of brokenness and wholeness that represents my life right now. And as I began to think about that, I talked to the Lord and said, Lord, in the light of that journey, what is it right now that I need to be aware of that will help me understand where I am at this stage of my life? And I came to a passage in the beginning of John, and it was very simple. It was a phrase that's coming out of the very first chapter where John says, I am not the light, but I came to bear witness to the light. And it really grabbed me. Look, I am not the Messiah. I am not a perfect man. I haven't done everything right. I have growth that still needs to occur, even at this age. There are places where I still, if you will, walk with a limp, in spite of the fact in many areas I have been healed. And yet, with that being true, I am called to be a witness to the light. To bear witness to Jesus and what he has done for us and how all things are coming under his lordship. To bear witness to the love of the Father who has pursued me and pursues other people. To bear witness to the presence of the Holy Spirit that is deep within. The specifics of that, I think, are going to change, and that change will occur probably from now until I go to be with the Lord. But I'm grabbed by this notion yet again that we are here for a purpose. And that we want to bring glory to God in order to finish the work that he's given us to do. And if at some level we are unclear as to the specifics of that, we can be crystal clear of this. We're not the light. We're not the Messiah. We're not the Savior. But we are here to bear witness to the light. Through our life, through our kindness and generosity and care, and through our words, to bear witness that Jesus is Lord, that his kingdom is real, and that he has come to set people free. Oh, I'm not going to say that I'm at the place that Chester and Mary Travis were. They truly lived out that sense that they would live as long as their work was before them. But I do pray that I would better understand what it means to continue to do the work the Father has given me and bear witness to the wonder of Jesus.